Hello, Audio Boo, people of Twitter, anyone who's listening. I'm doing the washing up, but last night I watched the film Prometheus, and it's been on my mind for a while. Well, the questions, this is basically a bit of a spoiler. So if you haven't seen the film Prometheus, and would like to see the film Prometheus, stop listening now. Basically, my views on the film are mixed. It's basically left a lot of questions that need to be answered for me. This has been going through my mind, since last night, and I thought I might as well talk about it while I'm doing the washing up, because it's on my mind at the moment. So I'd rather sort of, in a way, talk to myself and talk to you, and maybe, you know, you can tweet me after listening to this and let me know if I'm wrong, or I've got something confused, or I misunderstood some of the plot. But as we know, Prometheus is set in the same universe as the Alien films. Now, of course, this is where spoilers kick in. So the film starts off with an engineer, which is the space jockeys, on Earth, and him drinking the black goo that we see later on in the film, and that morphing him like it did with Shaw's boyfriend, husband, I can't remember his name, but mutating him, so he then falls apart, and, well, the black goo takes over him. He ends up falling down into the waterfall, starting life on Earth. Now, I assume what's bugging me slightly is that later on in the film as well, you see that our DNAs match. So yes, he starts the human race. Now, does he just start humans, or does he start life on Earth altogether? So he is the primordial ooze that life springs from. If so, then why does it just match with human DNA and it doesn't match with any other life on Earth DNA? That's kind of confused me slightly. So then we have them figuring out the star map in Scotland, which later on we discover there's lots of them around the world, and that's the purpose of their mission. They've gone to follow the star map. Now, Gray has pointed out to me, because at first I thought, well, why would you, because you later on find out that the planet LV 223, or was it 233, but basically not, it's not the alien planet, it's not LV 426, it's a different planet, not the one that we saw in the film Alien. So the star map leads to that planet, which is the engineer's weapon base. It's where they keep their weapons of mass destruction. So the star map is basically pointing away to where the engineers keep their weapons of mass destruction. Now, I thought that doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you show your offspring, or, you know, the, you know, your creations, the way to the weapons of mass destruction? Now, Gray pointed out that, you know, as they say in the film, it wasn't an invitation, it was a warning. So in a way, I confuse that, because the star map obviously says, don't come here, but stay away from this planet. This planet, you do not go to this planet. And I assume so, because that's where the weapons of mass destruction are kept. Now, the weapons of mass destruction, the weapons of mass destruction are the vials or caskets that can contain the black oozy stuff. And the black ooze, as we saw in the start of the film, breaks down DNA, mutates DNA. So I'm unsure whether that means that the ooze always, as in, if you come in contact with the ooze, does it always lead to an alien? The aliens that we see in the film, in the later films? Because my understanding was that it just mutates the DNA. So, but also my understanding was that it was the worm creatures, the little worms that you see, which I don't think came from the ooze. They were in the ground. So when you saw them enter the chamber and the caskets were leaking, it was leaking into the ground, that agitated the worms, mutating their DNA to form the arm hugger thing, which then, you know, killed off the guy with glasses, I've forgotten his name. And the black ooze covered the punk guy, the geologist, covered his face, making him mutate later into like a big-headed, bear-y mutant human. So he just became angry mutant by being touched by this. So basically, the black ooze mutates people. Which makes me wonder why David, the android, later on in the film, you also discover that Wayland himself is on Prometheus as well, in storage, waiting to be revived, so he can ask the engineers about, you know, the life, the universe, and everything, and to be hopefully given immortality because he doesn't want to die. Now, there's a little thing that bugged me about that. I love Guy Pearce, brilliant, and I know that he was in the viral campaign where he plays Peter Wayland at a TED conference. But why have Guy Pearce play an old man? Why not just have an old man play an old man called Wayland? I didn't see the casting there. I thought that was a bit confusing. So we have, you know, you never see in the film, you never see Guy Pearce as young Guy Pearce. You only see him as an old man, which I thought, why not just cast, you know, a great old man? Why not cast, Ian McKellen, or, you know, an old man to play an old man? There are, you know, plenty of good old man actors out there. But anyway, so Guy Pearce, he's been in cryo on the journey the whole time, and David is, of course, there to make him. At first I got a bit confused because I thought, does he want to kill him? Because there was that line saying, don't children just wait for their parents to die, or something like that. But then you find out that Vickers is Wayland's daughter. And she's just waiting to take over, or Wayland's daughter, or a relative anyway. Because I think, well, how old is Vickers? Because Vickers doesn't look like she's old enough. You know, she looks more like a granddaughter of Wayland than anything, unless Wayland is talking. Because he did say in the TED conference that he's talking about extending life. So maybe, I don't know, maybe Vickers is somehow, you know, doesn't age as well. I found that bit confusing. But anyway, so David takes the casket, one of the caskets, when Shaw takes the head of the engineer. Now, we know the engineers were fleeing from something. Now, we assume, well, We assume it's either the wormy things, because it can't, to me, it can't be the aliens that we see in the Alien films. Because we know, well, not we know, we assume that that... Just, I think that's what confuses me. Things don't really add up. We know that. Well, we know for a fact that things went wrong on the planet. So the weapons of mass destruction turned against their creators. So, and they said it happened about 2,000 years ago in the film. So does that mean then that the black goo always leads to aliens? Because it seems a bit of a coincidence that at the very end, of course, this, you know, you're going to have to sort of allow me to kind of go back and forth in the film, because I'm trying to work things out in my head. Because I thought, from looking at what they were trying to say in the story, that the aliens that we see in the Alien franchise, at this point, don't exist. To me, it's saying that basically the first alien we ever encountered, as in the... No, hang on. Right, so at the very end of the film, we see the kind of the an ancestor, an evolutionary jump to that of what we recognise as an alien, as in it's got the elongated head and the mouth within a mouth. And that's what kind of confused me, is that they've always said, in a way, a bit like how the alien was described in the first Alien film, as Cain's son, because it came from Cain, and so forth. So it picked up human DNA and became, you know, the alien we see. And I know that Ridley Scott didn't have anything to do with the later Alien films, but that's how I always picked it up, that the alien, the facehugger form of the alien, latches onto its host, impregnates the alien DNA into the host, and therefore the alien that comes out is either a humanoid shape, or a dog-like shape, or an ox-type shape, depending if you've seen the special edition of Alien 3. But it takes on some of the characteristics of the host. Now, this is what slightly confused me, is that in Prometheus it suggests that the black ooze messes with the DNA and mutates it. Now, okay, I get that. And you did see the weird birth... Right, okay, hang on. I'm confusing myself again, as in going through timelines. So let's start with Prometheus, how it seems to progress in Prometheus. And that is that David takes the casket that contains the black ooze liquid, puts it in the drink for the character that's Shaw's love interest, but I've forgotten his name, to drink, so he can mutate slightly and get contaminated. Now, I assumed that stage would have progressed into him breaking down into little bits because of what you see at the beginning of the film. The engineer drinks the vial of ooze. He then has, you know, black bits in his eyes and his skin goes funny, and the black ooze you see going through his veins, he breaks down into ooze, and then life starts. So I assume that was going to happen again to this character, to the guy, to Shaw's love interest. But then he, before that happens, because you see him later on with, you know, the black veins coming through, the funny eyes, as you saw with the engineer at the beginning, starting life. You saw... I'm almost done with the washing up. You saw that progression. But In the in Prometheus, but with the human, with Shaw's love interest, he didn't break down. He has sex with Shaw, and by having sex with Shaw, they create together the first face hugger of sorts. That creature then grows inside Shaw at an alarming rate. She gets into that med pod thing, which extracts the creature, which has a bit of a domed head. It looks a bit like an octopus, but you can tell, you know, because of later on, it's got an inner mouth and bits and bobs. So does that mean that when human DNA meets human DNA that's mutated, there's a part of our genome that has an inner mouth and tentacles? That's the bit I was unsure about. How did we get from humans to the alien that we see? Because what would have worked for me is that it was a combination of that and the worm creature. But you see, and also David's motivation. So I know that he's there trying to extend the life of Wayland, and that's why, you know, Wayland's there and why David is translating and learning all the things. So why does David want to impregnate Shaw? Does he assume that creature would then aid Wayland? Anyway, so what we know so far then, or what I've assumed, is that the offspring of Shaw and the guy whose name I keep forgetting, but her love interest, the other archaeologist, to me, I assumed is evolutionary step in the alien that we end up seeing in the alien films. So to me, it equals black goo with human DNA mutates it to a form where you would either break down, or then again, no, because it says as well that our DNAs match. So I assume we are the engineers. We then grow up to be the engineers. So that's our evolutionary ladder, is that the engineers are us in the future. You know, we evolve into becoming the engineers themselves, because our DNAs match. So I assume that's how that happens. Now, what I find confusing is exactly where does the alien fit in? You know, the weapon. Because what I would have liked, what would have worked for me, and in a way answered those questions of the DNA, would be that the worm that you see, which I don't think came from the casket, was in the ground, in the chamber with the big head. We're in the ground, and they are, you know, once the ooze, black ooze, meets the worms, it's the worm DNA that is the alien DNA, which has the, you know, the inner mouth, you know, the kind of what you see, you know, in a way. And it kind of hinted at that, you know, when you see the, you know, it attach onto his arm and go down into his mouth, you know, trying to do something. So I assumed, well, if you assume that that is the case, well, then David didn't take a worm into Prometheus, the ship. He took just a casket. So that kind of confused me. But also, there's the biggest confusion, which is, you know, and this is the spoiler, this is the thing that the trailer kind of hinted at, you know, for alien fans, and that is the ship you see in the trailer, you assume is the derelict ship you see on LV-426. And it's not. It's not the same ship. It's the same race. They have many ships. So, and the ship in Prometheus